Blog Talk Radio.
All hail the street queens and all that we stand for, man. Introducing the street queens.
Yo, it's your girl, Lushy Lush, live in the building, shutting it down like I always do. And you're live in the building with the Street Queens, the movement, always trying to empower and impact the community. And we is definitely getting it in today on Thursday. And make sure, callers, make sure you respect all of the callers that call in today. Make sure that you respect all the Street Queen panelists. Shout out to Game Face, get your Game Face on. Shout out to Exclusive Fashion and First. If it's not exclusive, it's not fashion. Shout out to A-Game Magazine. They got a hot party going down March the 14th with Ron Browns in New Jersey. Shout out to Each Game Magazine. Shout out to, Funkwarma, Indie, HipHop.net, ConsultingGuide.net, NationalStreetBuzz.com, and all of our affiliates that support the movement, StrictlyBump1.com and Ruly.com. The quote for the night is, Rosa Parks said, so Martin could walk. Martin walked, so Obama could run. Obama ran, so our kids could fly. And if you didn't hear that before, it's Rosa Parks said, so Obama could walk. And Martin walked, so Obama could run. Obama ran so our kids could fly. That is the quote of tonight. And basically, we are celebrating Black History Month, giving homage to our people from the blood, sweat, and tears that they sacrificed for us to have the rights that we have today, for us to be able to do what we do today. You know, love, peace, and blessings to all my people that have logged on to support us in the movement of Street Queens, the movement. If you want to email us at streetqueensmovement@gmail.com. You can also archive this, comment on the show, blog it, www.blogtalkradio.com/lushradioonline. The call-in number for the show is 347-826-7722. Check us out at www.streetqueensmovement.ning.com. Check us out on our blogging spot, Street Queens the Movement Blogspot. com. Any donations at P.O. Box 30126 Capitol Heights, Maryland 20731. We are definitely getting it in tonight. Okay, no profanity at all. If you're found using it, you will be dismissed swiftly and promptly. And we're going to get into the show. We're going to pay homage to a lot of our Black heroes on Black History Month, and then we're going to propose a question to you guys. What is going on with America today in regards to Black History Month is really not getting that much recognition. So if you want to speak on it, call in at 347-826-7722. But we're going about to get into the show and pay homage, and I'm about to go to the phone lines and bring in my queen, Emma. What's up, Emma? What a do, baby? What a do?
Peace, queen. Peace to everybody on the air and online, the rest of my queens.
That's what it is. We still waiting for some more of the queens to come in. But I know you got your piece right there. You're talking about Miss Sojourner Truth.
Yes, I am. You want me to get into it? Go in?
Break it down for them, man. Tell them about Sister Miss Sojourner Truth. Who did her once and get into it.
Well, for those that don't know who Sojourner Truth is, the woman we know as Sojourner Truth was born into slavery in New York as Isabella Bomfrey, after her father's owner, Bomfrey. She was sold several times, and while owned by the John Dumont family in Ulster County, married Thomas, another of Dumont's slaves. She had five children with Thomas. In 1821, New York law emancipated all slaves. But Isabella had already left her husband and ran away with her youngest child. She went to work for the family of Isaac Van Wagenen, which is spelled W-A-G-E-N-E-N. While working for the Van Wagens, whose name she used briefly, she discovered that a member of the Dumont family had sold one of her children to slavery in Alabama. Since this son had been emancipated under New York law, Isabella sued in court and won his return. Isabella experienced a religious conversion, moved to New York City and to a Methodist perfectionist commune, and there came under the influence of a religious prophet named Matthias. The commune fell apart a few years later with allegations of sexual improprieties and even murder. Isabella herself was accused of poisoning and sued successfully for libel. She continued as well during that time to work as a household servant. In 1843, she took the name Sojourner Truth, believing this to be on the instructions of the Holy Spirit, and became a traveling preacher, the meaning of her new name. In the late 1840s, she connected with the Abolitionist, yeah, whoever said that right is correct, movement, becoming a popular speaker. In 1850, she also began speaking on women's suffrage. Her most famous speech, which is called Ain't I a Woman, which I will read right after I finish giving the rest of the information, was given in 1851 at a women's rights convention in Ohio. Sojourner Truth met Harriet Beecher Stowe, who wrote about her for the Atlantic Monthly and wrote a new introduction to Truth's autobiography, which is called The Narrative of Sojourner Truth. And you can actually read it online at a website called www.pagebypagebooks.com. You can literally read page by page on that website and know more about her autobiography. Sojourner Truth moved to Michigan and joined yet another religious commune, this one associated with the Friends. She was at one point friendly with Militaries, a religious movement that grew out of Methodist and later became the Seventh-day Adventists. During the Civil War, Sojourner Truth raised food and clothing contributions for black regiments and met Abraham Lincoln at the White House in 1864. While there, she tried to challenge the discrimination that segregated streetcars by race. After the war ended, Sojourner Truth again spoke widely, advocating for some time a Negro state in the West. She spoke mainly to white audiences and mostly on religion, Negro and women's rights, and on temperance, though immediately after the Civil War, she tried to organize efforts to provide jobs for black refugees from the war. Active until 1875, when her grandson and companion fell ill and died, Sojourner Truth returned to Michigan, where her health deteriorated, and she died in 1883 in a Battle Creek sanitarium of infected ulcers on her legs. She was buried in Battle Creek, Michigan, after a very well-attended funeral. I'm going to go into her speech, which is called Ain't I a Woman, and this was delivered in 1851 at the Women's Convention in Akron, Ohio. She says, "Well, children, where there is so much racket, there must be something out of kilter. I think that 'twixt the Negroes of the South and the women at the North all talking about rights, the white men will be in a fix pretty soon. But what's all this here talking about? That man over there says that women need to be helped into carriages and lifted over ditches and to have the best place everywhere. Nobody ever helps me into carriages or over mud puddles or give me any best place. And ain't I a woman? Look at me. Look at my arm. I have plowed and planted and gathered into barns, and no man could head me. And ain't I a woman? I could work as much and eat as much as a man when I could get it, and bear the lash as well. And ain't I a woman? I have borne 13 children and seen most of all sold off to slavery. And when I cried out with my mother's grief, none but Jesus heard me. And ain't I a woman? Then they talk about this thing in the head. What's this they call it? Member of audience whispers intellect. That's it, honey. What's that got to do with women's rights or Negroes' rights? If my cup won't hold but a pint and yours holds a quart, would you be mean not to let me have my little half measure full? Then the little man in black there, he says, women can have as much rights as men, because Christ wasn't a man. Where did your Christ come from? Where did your Christ come from? From God and a woman. Man had nothing to do with him. If the first woman God ever made was strong enough to turn the world upside down all alone, these women together ought to be able to turn it back and get it right side up again. And now they is asking to do it. The men better let them. Obliged to you for hearing me, and now old Sojourner ain't got nothing more to say. I love these words because I believe they speak a deeper point than just women's rights, but rights of all peoples oppressed, and they are appropriate today as if they were just spoken in this room. Her very keen insight made her intellect obvious to me. She asks, where did your Christ come from? She asks and then answers beautifully, from God and a woman. Man had nothing to do with him. This must make many men feel a bit taken back, not only spoken by a woman, but a black woman of slavery, uneducated, disrespected, perhaps even reviled by some. But this woman spoke truth. The truth is like a sword. It cuts quick and deep, and in order to heal from such a truth, one must change their ways. And just to finish it, in 1996, I took that Ain't I a Woman speech, and I kind of put my own little remix on it, and it's called The Woman, and I'm about to read it to you.
Hey, give it to us.
That man over there said to me that me as a woman, I always need a man's shoulder to cry on and a house to clean and a man to provide for me. He said I needed him and couldn't live without him and for me to stay quiet while he speaks because he is a macho, a man. But as a woman, I'm not always crying, not unless that man mistreats me. I will keep a house clean because that's how I was raised, but I can provide for myself and my children just as well or better than any man. I have done so for nearly centuries. I have given birth to that man that has told me that I needed him and to be silent because I couldn't live without him. Well, look around you. I have done it. For centuries, I've been standing on my own, acknowledging my strength as a woman, homemaker and provider, and I will not be silenced. You listen to me. You could beat me, rape me, and intimidate me like you have always done for centuries, but you will not silence me because this woman is a strong, powerful woman with ambitions and goals who will not allow that man over there or that man anywhere to stop me, me meaning all women strong. Thank you. I'm done.
Oh, that was beautiful right there. And today we salute Sister Sojourner Truth.
And we salute Sojourner Truth.
Seriously, she did a 1-2, so we salute her, you know, for her whole, you know, battle to fight for women's rights and being an advocate, being a minister, and doing her thing and just, you know, supporting the women, you know, in the game. So we salute Sister Sojourner Truth.
And that's real early on when, I mean, really, we had no rights to nothing, and she still strong in her beliefs and all that. I mean, that was just when she, you know, when she was still being a slave and all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, that's pretty deep, you know. That's what a strong woman does. She advocates for what she believes, no matter what.
Yeah, and that's all of us in Street Queens do. We advocate for women's rights.
Mm-hmm.
As well. And we going to bring Lissette on the line. Lissette, what it do, fam? What's up, queen?
What it do, Lissette in the house. How's my
peace, queen.
Going? How's everybody?
Everybody is doing good. We digging in the scene on the gangster lane, paying homage and saluting our people.
That's
doing these ladies doing big things. So, Lissette, man, you got some things, some drop some knowledge on Dr. Martin Luther King's wife, man. Get it in, girl.
All right. As everybody knows, Coretta Scott was Dr. Martin Luther King's wife. But you know what? She's not just recognized as the wife. She is responsible for so many things. The late Coretta Scott was born in Hayburger, Alabama, and raised on a farm by her parents, Bernice McMurray Scott and Obadiah Scott in the Perry County, Alabama. Now, Coretta Scott was exposed at an early age to the injustices of life in a segregated society. She had to walk 5 miles a day to attend a one-room crossroads school in Marion, Alabama, while the white students rode buses to an all-white school close to by. Now, a young Coretta, she excelled in her studies, particularly in music, and she was the valedictorian of her graduating class at Lincoln High School. And she graduated in 1945 and received a scholarship Anacach College in Yellow Springs, Ohio. As an undergraduate, she took an active interest in civil rights in the movement. She joined the chapter of the NAACP and the college's Race Relations and Civil Liberties Committee. In Boston, she met a young man, theology student by the name of Martin Luther King Jr., and her life changed forever. They were married on June 18, 1953, in a ceremony conducted by the groom's father, Reverend Martin Luther King Sr. Coretta Scott King completed her degree in voice and violin at the New England Conservatory, and the young couple moved in on September 1954 to Montgomery, Alabama, where Martin Luther King had accepted an appointment as pastor of the Dexter Avenue Baptist Church. They were soon caught up in the dramatic events that triggered the modern civil rights movement when our girl, Rosa Parks, refused to yield her seat on a Montgomery City bus to a white passenger. As you know, she was arrested for violating the city's ordinances, giving white passengers preferential treatment in the public conveyances. The black citizens of Montgomery organized immediately in defense of Ms. Parks, and under Martin Luther King's leadership, organized a boycott of the city's buses. On April 4th, 1968, Martin Luther King was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee, a very sad day for everybody. And challenging her grief, Ms. King decided to concentrate her energies on fulfilling her husband's work by building the Martin Luther King Jr. Center for Nonviolent Social Change as a living memorial to her husband's life, dream, and goals. Years of planning, fundraising, and lobbying lay ahead, but Mrs. King would not be deterred. In 1969, Ms. King published her first volume of her autobiography called My Life with Martin Luther King Jr. In 1974, she formed a Full Employment Action Council, a broad coalition of over 100 religious, labor, business, civil, and women's rights organizations dedicated to national policy of full employment and equal economic opportunity. Ms. King served as the co-chair of the council. In 1981, which was the year that I was born, don't tell nobody, the King Center was the first institution built in memory of an African-American leader open to the public. The center is housed in the Freedom Hall complex encircling Dr. King's tomb in Atlanta, Georgia. It is part of a 23-acre National Historic Site that includes Dr. King's birthplace and the Ebenezer Baptist Church, where he and his father both preached. Ms. King continued to serve the cause of justice and human rights. Her travels took her throughout the world on goodwill missions to Africa, Latin America, Europe, and Asia. In 1983, she marked the 20th anniversary of the historic March on Washington by leading a gathering of more than 800 human rights organizations, the Coalitions of Conscience, the largest demonstration the capital city has seen up to that time. Mrs. King led the successful campaign to establish Dr. King's birthday on January 15 as a national holiday in the United States of America. Dr. King's birthday is now marked by an annual celebration in over 100 countries. Mrs. King was invited by President Clinton, which, you know, that's like the first black president that we know of, President Clinton, to witness the historic handshake between Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin and the chairman Yair Arafat at the signing of the Middle East Peace Accords in 1993. Mm. In 85, Ms. King and three of her children were arrested. Okay, so
whoa.
Now this lady is a little older, but she's still getting arrested in the South African embassy in Washington for protesting against the country's system of racial segregation and disenfranchisement. 10 years later, she stood with Nelson Mandela and when he was sworn in as the president of South Africa. And after 27 years at the helm of the King Center, Mrs. King turned over leadership to the center to her son, Dexter Scott King, in 1995. She had remained active in the causes of racial and economic justices, and in her remaining years, she devoted much of her energy to AIDS education and curbing gun violence. Although she had died in 2006 at the age of 78, she remains an inspirational figure to both men and women around the world. Our girl, Miss Coretta King.
Yeah, man. Shout out to God, rest in peace. You know, rest in peace, Coretta Scott King, remarkable woman. And today we pay homage and salute to Miss Coretta Scott King today on Street Queens the Movement. Yeah,
and that's
heard
just,
it.
That just proved that behind every strong man, there's a strong woman.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Right.
Hey, you, Obama got him his Michelle. Hey,
hello.
Oh, hey. Yeah, and since we getting it in, we're going to go to a quick commercial, and I'm going to come in and give my one, two, in regards to that situation. We got our caller on the line real quick. We'll bring the caller in, and then after that, quick spill from the caller, I'm going to go to a commercial, and we're going to come back in. All right? So, caller, you're live in the building. How you doing today?
Hello there, Lushy Lush.
Hey, how you doing, Joseph?
I'm doing good, and hello to Elma and Lisette, too.
Hi.
Hi,
well,
Joseph.
Yes, I was just listening to your all the...
Joseph, you only said... Joseph, you said hi to Lush and Lisette, and Emma is here, too. What's going on? You don't like me or something?
I did say Emma. I said Emma and Lisette.
Oh,
Emma,
you said my
Lisette.
Name first? Okay, cool. Love you,
Joseph. Well, come on, you didn't think I'd begin now.
You're
I
too
wouldn't
sweet.
Get my three lovely ladies.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes, like I said, I was listening to your all the topics on Black History. I'm sorry for everything that you all had to suffer through the past years to today, and I have my own vision, historic topic on for Black History. You may or may not know this, but in 1960, during the time of the whole segregation thing, as you may or may not know, it was also illegal in some states for two people of different races to mix, have a relationship and get married, but two people of different ethnic backgrounds, one Richard Loving and Bean Jeter, defied all that by getting married up in Virginia.
And this was in 1960?
Yes.
Okay.
And in the Central Point, Virginia.
Well, that was kind of a challenge because in Virginia, they were like a commonwealth, and they were like seriously racist, so they must have went through a
But they didn't know they weren't supposed to be married in Virginia and ended up in jail. Richard got, which later their story became a movie entitled Mr. and Ms. Loving.
Oh, okay.
So then after they were married, they were imprisoned because they were married?
Yes. The movie says, also unfortunately has a racist judge who ends up saying, Almighty God created the races, black, white, and placed them on separate continents, and he did not intend the races to mix, which was pathetic, because it means he was nothing more than a racist jerk.
Wow, yeah, absolutely. Wow, Joe, I didn't know that. Thank you definitely for calling and letting us know about that.
Thank you. That
You're welcome.
Some...
You're welcome.
Stay on the line with us, Joe. Cause we
no
got
problem.
Some...
I'll stay with you.
Thank you, Boo Boo. Stay on the line.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Man, Joe has some information on
him. Yeah, that was some good. That was some definitely good stuff.
Good stuff. I didn't even know that myself. That was good.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. We got one more call, and then I'm going to go to a commercial, and then we're going to I'm gonna talk about my girl, Maya Angelou, my favorite poet. Yes, sir. 202, you live in the building with the Street Queens, the morning. And
man,
we
act like you don't know who it is. It's Madame Madonna.
This is my artist right here. Y'all, she's one of the hottest female MCs for the ladies.
I just want to check in and say I respect the movement as usual and respect the forum that y'all holding tonight. Forums like this, you know, need to be going on all around the world, especially in this month. So definitely wanted to call and say what up. And Maya Angelou is also one of my favorites. I know why The Cage Bird Sings was an ill book, one of the best books ever written.
That's right. Thank you for
absolutely.
This is all love. Now see you tomorrow. That's
Madonna, stay on the line. Don't go nowhere, cause I got a deep thought that I'm gonna throw out to the people. So stay on the line. Don't go nowhere, man. Before I bite you.
I got you, baby. I'm on the line.
That's what's up. All right, yo. So we gonna go to a quick commercial, and you know what commercial I gotta play first, right? Emma already knows what it is.
I already know what it is.
All right, we're going to a commercial. You already know. Make sure y'all support E2K Magazine. We're doing a cult drive. March the 8th, man, in New York. You got Tech Coast, that's intact, man. Make sure you support the movement. All right, check the commercial out. We'll be back.
It's your girl, Lushy Lush, man. Did you ever think about picking up a magazine to see nothing but the hottest ladies that's doing hot things in the industry, from models to business owners? We trying to find out the beauty outside and the beauty within. So if you thought about that, pick up E2K Magazine at www.myspace.com/E2K Magazine or www.everything2.com. Or email them at E2KMagazine@gmail.com, man. It's nothing. Holla at your girl, man. Pick up E2K Magazine and support them in their movement, man. Like Nike say, just do it. Y'all want to get your stunning shades on, want to get the hottest glasses worldwide exclusive? Holla at Rooly.com, www.rooly.com. Holla at them official sponsors of Lush Radio. It's not a game. I got my stunning shades on, and I'm doing my 1-2, man. Holla at Rooly.com. It's not a game. Go check out the website, man. You're going to be impressed. Tell them Lush sent you, man. It's not a game, man. I got my stunning game on. Do you?
This is Natalia. You're live on Lush Radio. It's going down on Lush Radio Live.
Yeah, it's your girl, Lushy Lush, live in the building, man. You're live with the Street Queens, the movement, always supporting the community, always supporting our sisters in the sisterhood. We definitely bigging up all the beautiful African-American ladies in the building that definitely did their thing to make us be who we are nowadays, doing our want-to, man, supporting them in Black History Month. Definitely getting a shout-out to my daughter, Natalia, that did that little drive for me.
I thought I was her.
Let's
cut her the check. Don't be acting because she's your daughter. You got to cut her no check, all right? Tired of calling me. I do management.
Y'all crazy, man. So, you know, we paid homage to Join the Truth, activist, women's rights activist, and preacher, and we pay homage to Coretta Scott King, activist, doing a 1-2, the mother of Martin Luther King's children, and a strong woman doing a thing in the movement. And we go, Maya Simon, my girl, Maya Angelou. Tell you now, let me tell you now, still I rise, okay? I'm going to tell you right now, I love this woman to death. If I ever see Maya Angelou, I think that's the one person I might fall out. I might actually fall out. Because I love this woman to death. I write
for you do that, she's going to get scared, and then you ain't even going to get a chance to take a picture with her. Come on now.
I love Maya Angelou. Her story was a hard story. You know, it was a deep story, and she went through a lot. This is Maya Angelou was a writer, dancer, African-American activist. She was born Marguerite Johnson on April 14th, 1928 in St. Louis, Missouri. Angelou spent different times going back and forth with to her mother's and her grandfather. At the age of 8, she was raped by her mother's boyfriend, okay, who was actually killed by her uncles. The different events that happened and due to the rape, she was mute for a long time. You know, she didn't talk to anybody. You know, going through that, she basically didn't talk for a long time. And in her early teens, in her 20s, she spent a lot of time dancing to, you know, just channel out her energy, filled with isolation. So she experimented with dance. So that sprung out for her to go and tour Europe and Africa with the musical Porgy and Bess. In turn, took her all around the world. And then she returned to New York City in 1960. She joined the Harlem Writers Guild and became involved in black activism, where she spent several years in Ghana as an editor for an African review, and she began to take her life in activism and her writing more seriously. And Maya's five-volume autobiography commenced with, I know why the cage bird sings in 1960. Okay. That was a wonderful book, and it was very popular. You know, you guys can Google that and check that out and actually pick it up now. It's still relevant. It's a good book. Go to Barnes and Noble and pick that up, man. It's still
I have it.
Yeah, support her in the movie. It was a good book. She did later books like All God's Children Need Traveling Shoes in 1986, My Painted House, My Friendly Chicken and Me, 1994. And she published several volumes, a series, Still I Rise. And as in my age, and I think Lissette and Emma say, remember when they did the commercial of Still I Rise?
Mm-hmm.
It was very popular. They did a commercial actually. Still I Rise, and she did the poem, and she's done poetry at inaugurations also, she did a volume poetry of Give Me a Cold Drink of Water Before I Die, 1971. She was nominated the Pulitzer Prize, in 1993, Maya Angelou read on the Pulse of Mourning at Bill Clinton's presidential inaugural, and she's definitely a wonderful, remarkable woman, and man, she, her story, if you really read her autobiography, man, she's
deep.
Gangster. She's gangster, man. That woman is a woman. And, I mean, you know her on, you know, she was on there with, you know, the Madea Family Reunion, the actor. You know, she's wonderful. She's beautiful. She's very personable. And me being a poet, I looked up to her. Just, you know, just being, she's so strong and her delivery is excellent and she's just a wonderful, and I pay homage to her. I swear if I saw Maya Angelou, I don't get starstruck, but I would get starstruck with Maya Angelou.
You know she's board of trustees of the American Film Institute, right?
Wow. That's what's up. Go ahead, man. Go ahead. Shout out to my girl, Maya. I'm gonna bring in my girl Madonna, you know, so she can pay her homage to Maya Angelou, because I know you love Maya Angelou, girl.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, interestingly enough, two of the first books that I read by women were one by a white woman, Louisa May Alcott, was Little Women, and then another one was I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings by Maya Angelou. And I'm telling you, like, those two books really affected my upbringing. Just reading someone, reading such detail how she suffered and prevailed through an experience was amazing. So, I mean, I'm not sure. I think at one time she was either, and I know she spoke at the inauguration. I'm not sure if she was poet laureate, but if she wasn't poet laureate, she daggone sure. I mean, we got a black president. It still ain't too late. I'm just like this, to not talk for all those years. It's almost as if she just had it all balled up in her. To let it out, to channel that energy. That just shows you, like, if you got stuff balled up inside you, when you let it come out, it's so powerful, it moves people. And I think that's what she did. Like, to hold that pain into a ball and then ball it up so powerful that when she actually pushed it out, it toppled the universe. Like, she moved so many people to tears. And then she's got that slow, measured way of speaking. It's really entrancing when you listen to her recite poetry. So shout out to Maya Angelou.
Yeah, definitely her delivery. Her delivery causes a great impact along with her words, of course. But when she starts speaking, it's almost like you have to just be silent to listen to her, you know? It's like she gets you in a trance.
Demands
so.
That attention.
Yeah, she definitely demands that that attention. And very few women are able to do that. You know, and just to add on, in the 60s, at the request of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., she became the Northern Coordinator for the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. Mm. And in 1975, she received the Ladies Home Journal Women of the Year Award in Communications. I mean, like, all the stuff she's been involved in, we can just go on and on, really, about her. So, I mean, she's been just such an inspiration.
Mm-hmm. That's really deep, because it shows that we can go through really, really serious tragedies, but it's up to us to either say, you know what, I'm going to learn from this and I'm going to teach others about this, or I'm going to remain a victim. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these, like Donna Savage, you know, shout out to her. She's a great author. You know, went through so much domestic violence and she persevered throughout all those tragedies. And that is the real strength within everything, becoming the leader and not the victim, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's really, really deep right there.
And that's definitely the truth, man. Man, I mean, the ladies was going strong for us back in the day, man. They was getting it in.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, man. I mean, you know, Harriet Tubman, my girl Rosa Parks. My girl Rosa Parks said, I'm not getting out this seat, man.
She was tired.
I got buttons on these things, and I ain't moving, okay? And I'm going to fight for my rights. I don't care. And my girl Sojourner said, hey, girl, hey, I'm going to go to jail. I got to go to jail for this. My feet hurt, and I'm going to rest my feet. But you know the crazy part about it, right? And this is to all y'all, man. The thing is, our people fought so hard for these situations, right? And why do these young kids still consider that they need to go all the way to the back of the bus?
They're right. They want to be there now.
It's the mentality. It's just still the mentality. I mean, we still in a fight for freedom. You know, we may not have the chains and all that. We may not be born and sold, but we still have that type of slave mentality, unfortunately, you know.
That's right. And you know what? There's a lot of us that come from the projects and everything like that. And when you're surrounded by bars and you're surrounded by, you know, just, you know, what we call the ghetto, your mind kind of transitions into that. Like, you stay in that mind frame for most of the time. It's very few of us who actually recognize what is and then decide, you know what, I'm not going to die in the ghetto. I'm going to get out of here. You know, I'm going to come back and fix the ghetto, if anything. But it's your product of your environment is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it is. But you know what? Ghetto is a state of mind, too. You know, because you can be – I've known people that live in mansions and, you know, in high society places and are more ghetto than somebody that will live in a project, you know. So I think to me, ghetto – when you say ghetto, it's not necessarily a place. Actually, I think it's a state of mind.
I definitely agree with that.
That's some deep stuff right there. It's something to think on, man. We gonna bring in Joe and ask him what he think about my girl Maya Angelou. Yeah. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Maya Angelou. What do I think? Very inspiring woman. Very strong, inspiring woman. But then again, all of you are strong, inspiring women, so.
Aww. So we get that from them.
Uh-huh. We get that from them. Without them, there would be no us, man.
You know, speaking of strong women, my grandmother had 14 children. She came from Puerto Rico, and what led her here to New York was the fact that her husband was abusive. And so she gathered her 14 kids, and she traveled all the way to New York. Of course, some of the kids were older. They moved out to Chicago and everything like that. But she basically had to take on the responsibility of raising all these kids. He later on committed suicide. And she basically made that movement by herself. She was house to house trying to accommodate herself and her kids. And eventually she got her stuff together. A lot of her kids, you know, are business owners nowadays. A lot of them had became pastors and stuff like that. And many of the women married decent men and have their own families also. You know, so those are the type of women in my life, like my grandmother, who was such a great example, you know, of what a strong woman is.
Mm.
I'm sure y'all grandmothers was struggling at one time or another. I'm sure they're examples of aspiring story as well.
That's true. I gotta say that I actually gotta give homage to my mom actually, as a strong black woman. My mom, you know, came here from Africa. I came here when I was 2 years old. You know, she comes here, you know, leaving her family and everything that it was over there to come to America. My father came here for schooling and everything, and she took that chance, that leaving. She came here with me, and you know, they worked. She went to school and everything. And in 1990, my father had got killed, and murdered by a gentleman that tried to rob him. He was a cab driver, And you know, my mom was forced, you know, she had my brother and my sister. My mother was forced to actually, you know, you're used to be with your soulmate, and now he's gone, and you're in a place that, you know, you've been here for a while, but now it's like, you know, wow, what am I going to do? My mother was working hard, I mean hard, so hard, to raise all three of us by herself. You know, then she had to pay money and send for my grandmother from Africa to try to help us out, you know. it was a lot, but my mother stuck in there. You know, a lot of people, you know, they wanted us to go back to Nigeria and stuff like that, but my mother said, no, I don't want my kids to go there. I want them to be here to make something of themselves, and she kept us together, you know. I mean, we have our off and on things, but, you know, I got to give her homage for being, not being, you know, a coward and staying there with us. You know, some mothers would just give up and say, can't do it no more, but she stuck in there, and she got us to the point that we are past 18, and we here. I'm here, so I say homage to
Mama Lush.
Well, then let me step in and give homage to my grandmother and moms. You know, my grandmother and my grandfather. My grandfather was a very dominating man. What he said was law in his house. He threw my grandmother out the home when he no longer wanted to be with her, and my grandmother had to leave alone without her children. Then my grandfather brought in his sister to raise the kids. She wasn't allowed to see none of my uncles and my aunts. She went through real hardship, you know, being, you know, because at that time it was really what the man of the house said, and there was really no law. You know, no child support, none of this visitation right stuff, business. And she had to live a lot of years without her children. My mother was separated from her mother. And even though her aunt was there in the home raising, she became almost like automatically the person that took care of her rest of her brothers and sisters. And my mother cooked, and she did all this stuff before she went to school. As soon as she come from school, she had to clean, wash clothes. I mean, really, really do everything at an age that she's really supposed to be just concentrating on her schoolwork and all that. She had to be concentrating on what her brothers and sisters are going to eat because the mother wasn't there, because my grandfather didn't allow her to be there. And that made my grandmother strong. That made my mother strong. I mean, my grandmother still, with all that, still fought until my mother got a certain age, and then she was able to have a relationship with her and my aunts and my uncles. And that was kind of hard because them being separated, they really didn't know the true story of why, you know, they thought she abandoned them, and then my grandmother had to go through the whole explanation. And then they got close again. But, you know, that showed me, you know, when I learned, of course, of the history with my grandmother, that's when I realized, when I understood where she came from being such a strong woman. Like, my grandmother and our family was like that, the mafia don. Like, she came there, you know, you had to kiss the ring. Like, everybody was shook when she would walk in the room. And she, that presence, is just, she walked in and you was like, whoa, like, you know. And it's all from, you know, enduring all that pain. And then, you know, I see it in my mother, and I see her still with all that, not complaining, and still working and moving forward and, you know, getting two or three jobs or whatever. And then I played that same role. At 12 years old, I was watching my younger brothers and cooking and frying egg and doing breakfast, all that, sitting, you know, with their homework. At 13, I'm going to school conferences, so talk to the teachers because my mother's too busy working and she can't tend to that. So it's kind of almost like a cycle of, you know, of just where I'm at now at my day, that I'm is a need to help people, but that stems from all the way back to my generation, all the women in my family. That's kind of just how it is. You know, we open arms, and everything we can do for our family, we just do it regardless, whether we complain or not, whether we're in pain or not. And definitely big up to my mother. I mean, I pay homage to my mother. Me and my mother didn't have too much of a close relationship when I was growing up because, you know, I always thought she was being a little too hard on me. You know, I didn't understand that she was just preparing me for the world, you know. And of course, now in adulthood, I definitely appreciate it a whole lot. And I love my mother to death. And thank God for my mother.
That's what's, man. That's what's up, man. Man, to all the madres out there, all the mothers, man, y'all strong black women. Y'all doing y'all thing. Y'all definitely doing y'all thing. Y'all supporting y'all children because, like I said, behind every good man, every strong man, there's a strong woman. We are the backbone. We are the providers. We are the nurturers. And, you know, we paying homage to these women, these black women that the blood, sweat, and tears for us to be able to have this panel, for us to be able to fight for women's rights and, you know, just paying homage, you know. Black History Month, man. Salute to all my, you know, black leaders definitely doing their thing. But we're going to go to a caller real quick. 240, you're live in the building with Street Queens, the movement. What it do? We paying homage to our black leaders.
What's up? How y'all doing? It's Trump.
Hey, what's up, Trump? What it do? What it do, fam?
Well, y'all been listening for a little while, and I was actually talking about this on my show the other night, and, you know, we talk about what we don't have and, you know, how far we got to go, and granted, we do, but what we don't talk about enough is how far we have come. Who could imagine 50 years ago or 20 years or even 10 years ago a black president? You know,
that's true.
I couldn't have. And you know, exactly, you know, and really a year ago, the way things was looking, but, you know, we got it now. And I just think we have to start, you know, we get on, it's easier for us to get together and talk about things like this and what we, you know, who says black history got to be in February? They gave us the shortest month of the year.
Ain't that something?
28 mm-hmm. days, you know.
Plus 29 a leap year.
We get an extra day every 4 years, I forget, you know. But, I mean, black history is not a month, you know what I'm saying? Black history, especially if you black history is all the time, wherever you go, you know. And we as a people, a black men and our black women, we have to stop disrespecting each other.
That's
you
true.
Know, we talk about it all the time, but when the radio show goes off or when your day at work goes off or when all these marches are over, what happens then? We go right back to the same routine, and that has to end.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You're speaking the truth on that, player.
I think that he made a real strong comment. He said, you know, history, black history is everything. And that is so true. I mean, at the school just recently, I had to school a young brother. He's 11 years old, you know, talking about popping bottles and getting arrested and all these crazy stories, and he's 11 years old. Let me tell you how I sat this young boy down in the chair next to mine, and I said, let me tell you something about your ancestors. And I schooled him all the way down to Obama, and he was just, like, in awe. And every time these kids come around and they get in trouble in the school, I'm like, come on, it's time for a talk. Oh, Miss LaSaddle, come on. They know I'm about to give them the lecture. And you know what? Believe it or not, they come by with stories for me. They come by and say, oh, you know what I learned in school today? This, that, and the third. And that's where it starts. You have to share this knowledge to everybody every day. Practice it. Not just black history, but history, period.
Mm-hmm. And that's the truth. That's the truth.
But that falls in the responsibilities of the individual because, you know, that goes with all your history, you know, whether you're Latin, you know, if you're Latin, you're Latin all around. Like, we get a month here because, you know, that's the way they claim it. But if you're a Latin person, then that's what you have to teach your young ones, your kids, your community, you know, that's what you teach them. It's like one time, I remember the topic we were talking about, but us Puerto Ricans, like, we have this thing for our older people. When you walk in a room, you have to ask for blessing, and that's called bendición. And right now, there's a lot of, I go to a lot of Latin homes, and they don't do that. And I get taken back, like, wow, like, to me, that's like a disrespect. I see an older Latin person, and it's just an automatic thing that I say bendición, and that's just asking for blessing. And I've learned that from young, and I teach that to my kids, and my kids are like, but Ma, everybody else doesn't say it, but you know what, but you're going to say it, because that, you know, that's just part of who we are, and you're going to, you know, you're going to ask for blessings, and, you know, and it makes, what it does is it just gives that respect to our older generation, and there is no respect. Like, I work in the school, these kids are so disrespectful, it's not even funny, you know, it's just not, you know, it starts in the home. It starts in the home to teach, you know, our culture, to teach our history. You know, we can't just leave it all to the school, send them in school and think that they're learning like that, you know. Fine, let them do what they do in school. But at home, you're supposed to be teaching them, having those books and going back into, look, this was your uncle and this was your grandfather and this was your grandfather's grandfather and this is what he did and this is where we came from. You know, I mean, only people in the immediate family could be able to teach these kids that.
And that's the truth. And Emma, on that same situation, is the thing is, like, just like you, I tell y'all about the school that I'm at. I work with high school students. And I'm gonna tell you, let me tell you some crazy stuff. The only thing that they had for them to watch or even talk about for Black History Month in the school that I was at was to watch Denzel Washington playing Malcolm X. They had barely no little, like, you know, assemblies, plays, anything to really, like, you know, really teach these kids, like, you know, exactly where their history is from. And then, you know, the kids just have the lack of respect for the people that actually sacrificed to allow them to be who they are now, to even have the chance for Obama to be the president that he is nowadays. And the thing about it is that, like Lissette said and Emma said, it starts from the home. We cannot sit here and tell a school to teach you about your history. You have to teach your children your history, your culture. We are forgetting this. And this is the question that I propose to all the callers, all the listeners out there. Where did we go wrong? Where in the books tell us that only 1 month is when we must celebrate our culture and teach our children our culture? And at the same time, is it me or is it just me? Or do I hear more about Rihanna and Chris Brown getting into fights rather than paying homage to these people that sacrificed their lives for us to even have the rights to do what we do, to be artists, to do anything? Josephina Baker. Oh, I mean, these people that sacrificed their lives and had to go against odds for us to be who we are. Where did Black History Month stop getting this recognition? When did we start making the library smaller and smaller so you barely can't find that much stuff on Black history?
Where are the leaders at, man?
What's really going on?
I remember a couple of years ago when Black history was coming up, you already knew because they used to give all the Black movies, and it was like a whole thing on TV, and it was mentioned. There was so many commercials, and like the whole entire month, they went hard. I can't remember this month of February seeing a commercial or anything being spoken about Black History Month.
That's what I'm getting at, man.
Yeah, definitely, because I remember back then it was like you already knew February, you catching up on all the films that had to do with anybody that was remotely African American. They were playing that in February, and now it's like, woof. I guess they feel we have Obama on TV. That should be good enough. I mean, that's horrible.
That's the craziness. And on that note, I'm gonna bring in a call and see what they think about it. 550, you're live in the building with the Street Queens, the movement. How you doing today, sweetie?
I'm doing excellent. Good evening, Street Queens.
Peace.
Yo, I've been sitting here listening to you guys talk, and I really appreciate the information. I appreciate the attitude, the swagger that all y'all got, because it's women like you that my little sister, that my little niece, could look up to and say, you know what? These women struggle. These women put in work. And look what they accomplished. And my uncle knows them. So I just want to say thank you.
Wow, that gave me chills. Oh, my God, you're going to make me cry.
I'm just saying, like, I bet half of y'all don't even know who this is on the phone. Do they know, Lush? You been talking too much shit about me or what?
Hey, family show.
Oh, I apologize. I'm just being me. I'm sorry. You can cut that out. Nah, but I just wanted to call it. I don't call it too much.
Just let the people know who you are, man. Let the people know who you are, man.
Call me Charlie.
Call you Charlie. Okay, we call you
okay.
Charlie.
Thank you, Charlie.
Get out of here. Nah, my mother calls me.
Does that make us the angels?
Your mother called you what?
Mother calls me Robert.
Robert?
Yeah.
Okay, she called you Robert because that's what's on your birth certificate?
That's on my birth certificate.
He's playing around. That is the CEO of Game Face. that I'm the first lady of game face, facing positive people doing positive things, getting
what,
your
game. What, are we going through something today? What's going on?
I am not the CEO. What are you talking about?
Come on, he's lying. That's game face right there. That's all game face right there. On
okay.
the line. Right there.
Oh,
he is
so
Charlie.
Oh, I see. He's living, to the, he's living up for the name, game face. Game?
Nah. Nah. No, just like Obama, I'm the president.
Okay. Yes. Well, you know, you're talking to a room full of women that are CEOs and presidents, so definitely welcome.
Yeah. Oh, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Like I said, it's you all that I look up to and keeps me going, doing what I'm doing.
That's
you know, I see the, I should say I hear the grind. I don't see too much because I'm everywhere when I can, so. But I just wanted to call and say thank you. I appreciate the show. You all doing a beautiful thing, and I look forward to partying with you all one day.
That's what's up. Cool. Come down to the Ron Bronze event,
yeah,
March 14th.
March 14th.
We'll be
March
out there.
14th. I'll be in Denver.
So Rob, but you didn't answer the question. How do you feel about the fact that it feels like in this month, you know? You barely saw that much of any Harley recognition within the whole salute to Black History Month. You barely saw several commercials on regular TV or PSAs or, you know, just events. Like, you used to know back when we were coming up that Black History Month is Black History Month.
Yeah,
a lot of our youth had no idea it was Black History Month.
Yeah, I mean, but I expected that. You know what I'm saying? The small minority that have most of the control, they feel like, well, you got a black man in the office, so that should be good enough. I mean, to tell you the truth, I've been all over this country. You know what I'm saying? Within the past year, my feet have touched all states except Alaska. You know, and a lot of people are tired. It's like we got a black man that's in the office now, and people are expecting so much to happen. Well, there's a lot of white people out there. And no disrespect, because that's part of my family, too. But there's a lot of white people who are already saying enough already. So if I'm hearing that in the streets, I know the main media is not going to push it. So I expect it. No. I really expect
it. It was kind of deep right there, man.
Tired of hearing about it. We just got started.
Right?
Yeah. Nah, but see that's the wrong way of looking at it. We didn't just get started because you've been talking about all these people. We've just hit the mainstream now to where we have some influence. You know, I heard somebody say, what did he say? Who would have thought we would have had a black man in the office or whatever? Well, Dr. King thought way back then that we could be that powerful. You know what I'm saying? And you got to find it within yourself to accomplish whatever it is that you want to accomplish. It can happen. But you got to do it from within. You know, who would have, I know this is a family show and everything else, but I would have never, ever, I grew up in California. When I came over to the East Coast, I saw two white boys call themselves niggas. I said, wait a minute. It was a shock to me, but that's what hip-hop did. Hip-hop has united so many people that they took that negative word that my grandmother can't stand, that my father can't stand, and they took it and brought it together to where it was some type of emotional attachment, where it was good. There's so much that's going on right now that nothing surprises me.
A couple of those words, and one of those words such as the B word, it's like a comment like, hey, that's how, you know, our young ladies greet each other, like, in the schools and all that. These are girls that are 10, 9, 10, 11 years old. It's like, hey, B this, hey, B that. And that's, like, the in thing. That's, like, cool because that's what they see in the videos and they're hearing the songs.
Well, that depends on how you look at it, too. You know what I'm saying? To me, the bitch ain't no, the B word, excuse
hey,
me, is nothing.
Yo.
Gotta watch your mouth, Rob.
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I can't be fake.
You heard me say the B word. Did you not hear me say the B word?
No, but that right there is automatically negative, and no matter how I try to twist it in my mind, I can't find anything positive coming from the B word. Now, the N word, a wise man once said, I am an N-I-G-G-A. Never ignorant, getting goals accomplished. What's excellence? Excellence is doing a common thing in an uncommon way. This brother took a negative word, flipped it in his head to it, became positive to him. I'm never ignorant. I'm getting my goals accomplished. So for me, that's a positive spin. I haven't heard nothing about no B word, though. So I kind
of
say.
But I'm telling you what's in the minds of 10-year-old girls. I mean,
we don't see that
as to be something positive, but they do. And that's the scariest part, is that they do.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, that's
not the word. I'm gonna stop the word "speak" because it means Spanish people in control. I don't care how many times you juice it up. I will never adopt that word.
The word.
Mm-hmm. The speak.
And on that note, we're gonna bring it. Rob, stay on the line with us. I'm gonna bring in another call, all right?
For a hot minute, babe, because I gotta get it moving.
Okay, that's what it is. Caller from the 240. Trump, what it do, man? How you feel about that situation, Trump?
Here's how. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
This is how I feel about it. Personally, I don't care if they're not running commercials. I don't care if they're not doing this or doing that. Because, like you said earlier, Lush, that's my responsibility in the home. If we already know how they feel about us, why are we so shocked and surprised and upset that they're not running commercials? Who cares?
Yes.
You know, and my whole thing is this. Racism is going to be there. But the way I see it now, the greatest threat to us now is hatred within our own race.
That's what it is.
That's more threatening to us than any white man can do. So while we're talking about racism and Black History Month, we need to check ourselves because we're destroying ourselves, not them.
That's right.
Yep. Oh, man. He done hit it on the noggin. Ding, ding, ding.
But you know what? I'm going to jump into that just by saying that you say we shouldn't care. No, we have to care. You know, we have to care because the media, the TV, this is how our young kids are being raised. This is what influences them, you know.
Right.
So we have to care. We have to still fight for that. You know, yeah, it starts in the home and we're going to do it in the home, but we still have to fight for that because the media has the biggest impression on our young kids today. And you know what? Prime example, the situation with Rihanna and Chris Brown is the most important thing now, and it has dominated people, you know, celebrating Black History Month. That's all that these young kids are hearing. Why? Because it's in the media, it's everywhere. So we have to care about that because that is important. That is important.
Turn that TV off and take some time to educate them about what they just saw. Take some time to sit down and say, no, you're not watching this. Get off that computer. Put them video games down. We have become, not everybody, I'm just shooting the truth. We have become kind of lazy as parents. They sit in front of the TV, I'm going to do something else. That TV goes off at a certain time, at a certain night of the week, you're not touching that TV, that computer. We're going to sit down, we're going to talk about everything. Openness is missing. Mrs. So-and-so at such-and-such elementary school can't teach you what I can because you only there for 6 hours a day. I got you the other 16.
Absolutely.
It's to us. Yeah, you know, you got to be parents again. We've lost that.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And that goes with telling these men, and not all, but that goes with telling all these deadbeat dads that make kids and then just walk off and think they have no responsibility because they think it's just about giving them $25 a week. It's more than that.
It's helping
raise and teaching knowledge to that child.
You're right about that. But then that's where we as fathers, that's where we come in. And those not around, that's where we come in and say, what you have down there is too precious to give to somebody that you don't even know. And then you're wondering why he's not in the life. You didn't even get the chance to know this man. And you just did this. And now you have this baby and he's gone. You know, we have to raise our daughters to respect themselves more. Get to know this man before you lay down with him and wonder why is he not there all of a sudden. Did you really know him?
That's right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's right. Wow.
You know, at the end of the day, whatever decisions that we make as women or as men, we have to realize that we have to take responsibility for our mistakes, for our actions. If two people unite, they don't know each other, and a baby is born, that has nothing to do with the baby. That has nothing to do with the baby. Step up and do what you got to do to be a father. Step up, be a mother, because whatever y'all did before that child was born don't mean nothing. We got a new life. in town. We have a new little baby in this world that people have to step up and take care of. You know what I'm saying? So, okay, maybe somebody made a bad decision. All right. You know, we're human beings. We make bad decisions. But what does that have to do with building that child?
Yeah, you still have the right to face what you've done, you know, and you created that child, then you're supposed to be there. Even if financially you can't take care of the child, there's a lot more that you can offer a child and give a child, which is that stability to know that the parents are there. You know, I mean,
people have kids
and they think they can just pass it on to other people. And, you know, that's and it's all right. There's people there that are willing to step up for children. But at the end of the day, these kids know what it is. They know being abandoned and being pushed away and that their birth parents ain't there.
And that's
fair.
The truth. But you know what, Emma? This is shout out to Legion of Beats. He actually wrote in there, this is going into the chat room. He said that this is a theory. He said basically that it's both sides in regards to the deadbeats. You got deadbeat moms out there also.
Absolutely.
So it goes both ways.
But I think we touched on that, definitely.
Yeah, and his theory is that racism is not based on color. It's based on our abilities to think about it.
Mm.
That was a deep thought right there, man.
Yeah,
that
definitely.
Was a deep thought. Shout out to Legion of Beats. My girl, DM Savage, man. We got to pay homage to DM Savage. Donna Savage is a remarkable, wonderful woman that went through, you know, domestic violence and fought through that and survived and, you know, is an advocate of you know, women, an advocate of abuse, an advocate of just strong black women and just women of all races. She is a wonderful woman. And, you know, the Street Queens, we're honored, you know, to be helping her and pushing her book, The Blood, Sweat, and Tears of a Domestic Violence Survivor. And I pay homage to you, Donna. I know she's on about to call in the line. Donna, how do you feel about the lack of, because I know you're on the line, so I'm going to tell you, how do you feel about the lack of people not really acknowledging Black History Month, really, in this month of this year? I'm going to pull her on the line. Hey, Donna, what it do, boo?
Hi, how are you?
Peace, Donna.
Hi. Yeah, I do notice. I don't know whether it's just the climate altogether, but it just seems like people in general are just like kind of just out of it. And I guess it's because we got so much on our plates and stuff like that. And I really think also, though, is to minimize the effect that black people have right now on the world, because we are a big, big voice out here. We're doing so many things and so many doors are open. So I think in one form, it's the black people themselves that are not, you know, joining other blacks that are doing. And then in another form, it's the other races that want to just keep it so that we're not recognized for what we are doing.
That's another thought, man. Y'all dropping some crazy thought jewels right now, man. For real. I mean, the thing is, us as people, you know, we always sitting here arguing and blaming people and this, that, and the third. The reason why, if we do not fight for what is there for us in our grasp, like our right to vote, our right to, you know, speak our minds, to advocate women, to advocate the community. If we do not commence change within ourselves, if we do not commence change in our communities, where are we at? If we allow the government or society to push us in a corner and to basically dump our children down by not even letting them know or just trying to erase the fact that Black History Month exist, the more and more we get into the years as we develop, no one's going to even know when or what month Black History Month is. I had a kid ask me, when is Black History Month? When Donna and the majority of the people that was on the line was coming up, we knew when Black History Month, because we was hooping and hollering, and we made a day of it. We made a month of it. Every single day, there were commercials, there were shows, paying homage, there were movies. You knew when it's Black History Month. It is a shame when our children don't know about their history. It is a shame when our libraries are getting smaller and smaller and nobody's talking about it. Come on, man. We got to get with it. We got to start speaking up and
stop
sitting
back. Or when they're trying to even close our libraries, because over here in Philadelphia, they were trying to close our libraries over here. So.
Wow, wow.
That's a sad day when they're closing libraries.
Mm-hmm. I just want to say before I leave that, I mean, we are blessed. We are blessed people. And I'm not, you know what, and I love every race. I love white people. I love Hispanic people. I love Black people. I love everybody because we're all, I know it's old and corny, but we're all in the human race. You see what I'm saying? And we look what our ancestors gave us. They handed the ball off to us now. What are we going to do with it?
That's the question.
Marched up and down them streets, they bled, they picked that cotton, they did all that. And look what they gave us. They gave us conditions they could have only dreamed of. Yeah, we have a long way to go, but it's our time now to make something of it. We can get together, we can talk, but when we finish our talking, are we going back to calling each other names? Are we going back, or are we actually doing something? We got to take the ball and run with it now.
Stop talking the talk and walk the walk. That's the thing. Stop talking the talk and walk the walk.
Mm-hmm. I'm out.
That's what's up. Thank you, Tripp. Thank you, Trump, for coming through. And for Desperate Radio, check them out, man. Each and every Monday, they always doing they want to. Thank you for coming through.
Thank you, man. This was some real deep stuff right here, man.
Donna, how did you feel that we should propose, you know, change or like be, you know, highlighting, you know, his Black History Month? I mean, what should we do, Donna?
Yeah, all of the positive people that are in the forefront, such as celebrities and anyone that's really positive, we should all stand up and force all of the recognition, because we have so much new stuff also. Besides, we all know Martin Luther King and what he did. But we have so many new people that are really, really positive, Black people in the business, in the industry, and we can still go on. But it's going to take that, like we're just saying. It's not just saying it, it's doing it, you know, mm-hmm. to promote so much stuff that we're doing out here and to make it our own, you know, Black History Month, because we should be recognized for what we're doing.
So Emma, yeah. How do you feel that we should propose to, you know, basically bring more light to, you know, these people that sacrificed their life for us, man?
Well, I mean, the same way that we all got together to make sure that Obama was president and we were out there advocating and talking mm-hmm. and knocking on our neighbors' doors and doing all type of stuff, and all these artists, you know, these top artists that came because they want to change from Jay-Z to Beyonce and all that. I mean, so what happens to them? Isn't their history Black history as well?
Mm-hmm.
So is it just because when we, you know, wanted Obama there? I mean, it should be every day. So, you know, let's go after these people that are quick to advocate about having a Black president. Okay, cool, we have a Black president. Now what?
Right.
Now what? So we forget about the history because we have a Black president? We're going to be pacified because there's a Black president and a Black first woman. Okay, but what happens after that? Like, we have to continue to teach and advocate. Use the internet. Use the radio shows that we're doing now. I mean, really, really continue on our promotions. We're quick to promote a club, a party.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So why can't we continue to promote all the Black leaders?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all have shows, all these publications. They're quick to talk about Rihanna and Chris Brown. They're quick to talk about T.I. with the gun thing and all that. He's going to jail. And they even have a reality show about, you know, counting down his days, so going to jail. In between that, what happens to our Black leaders? Hello. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just saying, you know, I mean, I'm just one person or whatever, but, you know, and even as a Latin woman, I still think to me it's important that Black history be known. But, you know, I have to then continue and advocate, you know, what my ancestors, you know, I don't want my ancestors being forgotten either. But you have all these other people that are on reality shows. You got, you know, that all these reality shows that are crazy, especially with what's his name with the clock?
Flavor
Flav. I mean, you finding Flavor Flav, you know. Hello, you finding him love and all type of all sorts of craziness that goes up there. New York, New York got her own show. Are these not black or African American people? Mm-hmm. So you're telling me they got nothing else to offer but that on television, and then they wonder why black
right.
African American are being looked,
mm-hmm.
you know, as certain things. I mean, hello, look what you're portraying.
Right.
You know, back in the days, it wasn't like that. When we was growing up with even all the shows that had African Americans on it, you know, people had respect for themselves that they weren't just going to come out with any, you know, any craziness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just now it's just gotten crazy. So that, you know, in order to have it, in order to promote flyers, continue to advocate, you know, continue to advocate. Throw out your bulletins and your Facebooks and everybody's Twitter and everybody's this and that. Now and then take a month or actually get into a leader, learn the history and talk about it. Share it.
Mm-hmm.
Share it. You know what I'm saying? Share it. Just like we talk about problems, domestic violence, we talk about heart disease, we talk about all these topics, that is one of our topics that we should just continue to talk about and educate our family, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sit down with them. Exactly. Turn the TV off. My daughter's in bed at 8:30. I don't play that. She's 10 years old. 8:30, you know, 8 o'clock, she's taking a bath. 8:30, she is in bed. Not hanging out, not in the corner, not, you know, watching stuff she ain't supposed to be watching. But that's our responsibility. We have to take on that responsibility. And we're busy and all that, but it's just part of what we need to do. You know what I'm saying? As parents, when especially when we, you know, trying to raise these children, and then we want to say about, oh, they're not educated, or they're saying this, or they believe in the B word or whatever. But what are you doing? You know, what part are you playing in it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because to point to somebody, when you point to somebody, I want you guys to do that now. Really point a finger. Like when you point a finger, right, you're pointing. How many fingers are coming at you, though?
How many
when you're pointing out?
Pointing back. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how many fingers are pointing back? So that's
mm-hmm.
just, you know, I'm going to end it with that.
That's what's up, man. That's the truth, man. But, Seth, how do you feel that, you know, we need to advocate and make more change and bringing more awareness to Black history?
Don't be afraid to speak up. Don't be afraid to speak up. Our ancestors fought so we can have freedom of speech. And I am a person who, if I'm walking up the block and I see a group of girls, you know, kind of acting a fool, using the B word or whatever, I'll be the first one to come out and say, well, you know what, I really like that sweater. You live around here? Oh, yeah, I live right up the block. I heard you saying this, that, and the third. But you know where that word comes from, right? I am not afraid of schooling
mm-hmm.
a youngster. I am not afraid of saying, listen, young man, this is where the N word comes from. You know what I'm saying? Listen, young lady, this is where the B word comes from. But I don't come at them as somebody who's going to lecture them. I come at them as a friend. Hey, you know, oh, I like your iPad. That's cool, you know. You live around here? That's cool. I live right there. And I am not afraid to speak up. You know, so I think that we all have to take that responsibility. Like, I mean, whatever happened to that phrase, you know, it takes a tribe to raise children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it takes a tribe to raise a child. So why shouldn't I be like, listen, you know, why are you writing graffiti on your building? You live here, you know what I'm saying? Why can't I step up? Am I afraid of these kids? I'm not afraid. God
mm-hmm.
gave me a voice to use, and I'm going to use it. And
that's
I think true. That in everything that we do, whatever business venture we have, we need to really, really stop for a moment and acknowledge the fact that if it wasn't for our ancestors, we would not be here. We would not have the luxury. You know, so I think that, like Emma said, we have to take responsibility and share that knowledge. I mean, I heard that, you know, the grave is the richest place with talent because there's so many people that go, they get buried, and they never share the talent or the knowledge that they had. Therefore, the grave becomes the richest place on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not have the grave be the richest place on earth. Let's exhaust that talent. Let's bring it about. Let's share it with one another. Because
preach on, my queen. Preach on, my queen. Be a
practice your knowledge. When you share it with others, you are going to perfect your gift by sharing it over and over and over. That's one thing. Educate yourself. I am officially back in college. I'm going to finish my bachelor's degree. I'm taking politics. I'm taking accounting because I got to know my numbers. You know what I'm saying? Why? Because I want to be that leader. I am that leader. Educate, reciprocate, you know?
That's the truth.
That's
the truth. We're going to bring Joe on the line and see what Joe thinks of how we should advocate. Joe, what you think about it?
Hello there. Well, like you said, hello there. Like we said, we got to get off the whole Chris Brown and Rihanna and start bringing back the important things of Black History Month and stop with the whole reality shows, including because they have a new one, even more ridiculous one out now, For the Love of Ray J.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And when I tell my father and my stepmother this, they end up acting me saying, Who the hell is Ray J? Like, I'd be like, who the hell is Ray J? Who the hell is Brandy? And this leads to, like, a who's on first bit.
Well,
but you know what, Joe? These reality shows are really embarrassing to me because you have kids in suburbia watching these shows, and that's it. That's what the Black community is. That's what the Hispanic community is. You know, there was a participant by the name of Bubbles, and she happened to be a Puerto Rican person, and I think it was one of those love for whoever. And Bubbles happened to be this young lady, you know, Latina, who had no idea what she was saying. She had no idea what she was standing, and this is the person who's representing Latin America. Like, seriously, that was so offensive to me. I was like, I can't believe that these people are, that's just another way of exploiting our people.
Well,
you throw a couple of dollars in front of them, you throw a couple of bucks in front of them, and these people are jumping like circus monkeys just for a dollar.
Sometimes it's not even money. Sometimes they just do that for exposure, which is even sadder.
Even worse. I mean, come on. It's an illusion that you're chasing. It's just an illusion, you know. Oh, for population. Oh, I want to be more popular for exposure. But you know what? You just expose yourself to be a nasty bee. I mean, pumpkin. She spat on another woman. Like, come on. You just like disgrace the whole woman species by doing something like that. You know.
Wow.
And you know what? I'm glad that T.I. has his little show there, but why did it have to take him going to jail for him to put out a show like that? It would have been beautiful if he did it before he got that.
Absolutely.
Felony charge. Why,
yeah.
Why didn't he do that before that? You know, let's make a change.
That's
because
that.
He pays his publicist good money, and that and they thought that that would be good for his image. That's all that is the image thing.
Yes, Joseph, what did you want to say? What did you want to say?
Well, if you think that show is crazy, you should see the music video that he and Justin Timberlake had made. The one where traveling on this road too long, can't remember the title, but it features him driving all the way
Justin Timberlake.
To prison at the end.
Yeah, I saw it.
You saw?
Yeah.
And
it's a shame. I mean, I know that we all have our stories of struggle. You know what I'm saying? I think it's beautiful when we come about it. But the sad truth is that I believe these shows are just made to make fun of us. I think that it's brainwashing our kids. And as parents, we really need to step up and say, you know what? You're not going to watch that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, your man that used to own BET, that sold it. It never was really easy. It was just Black entertainment. It was never meant to actually educate the people. You know, the thing about it is they took away Teen Summit that used to teach the youth and bring the youth together. They took that away from us.
They took my personality. They took you know, a lot of things down. They used to have positive movies on BET. Now they have nonsense. I mean, come on, man. I mean, it's not what it is. And then even TV One still shows some of the exploits of back in the day. You know, it's just like, I mean, come on. Like, let's get with it. Let's really, like, people need to speak on it. People right. Just sitting back like androids and not saying nothing. Like, y'all, are you guys happy with the way that we are portrayed on TV? Are people happy that the youth only thinks that they need to rob and steal and shoot and kill somebody in order to make it in life so they can rock the bling bling? And have you noticed that most of these cars that come off the lot are geared towards the drug dealer? Because only they can afford these rims that's coming off the stuff. That's what the kids think.
Because not for nothing, you look at the top of these pyramids, these industries, and who's up there? Somebody that is not of color.
Mm-hmm.
Telling the artists how they got to get down with theirs. You know,
most of the Fortune 500 companies, man.
That is exactly my point. So my thing is, what are we doing? I do not watch BET. I try not to watch BET. Let me tell you something. I want to see the videos. I want to see what I want to be updated. You know what I'm saying? Up to date and whatnot. But I try my best to stay away from that type of negativity. You know, Bill O'Reilly, I'm sorry. I would never ever see one of his shows. I don't want to hear about it. Whatever. That's my way of protesting. So am I alone or do I have fighters with me? New York Post, I would never buy another paper from them. Never.
Mm-mm.
Why should I support them? Let me show them what it is to protest. Let me show them what it is to have the support of the Latino community and the black community. Let's protest. Let's stand up and hit them in the pockets. That's when they're going to really, really open their eyes. So am I alone or am I standing with a team?
I'm with you, sister.
That's right. I'm with you, man. I'm with you, man, for real. And on that note, I'm going to go to a quick commercial. We're going to come back, man, on those thoughts, man. Like, people, what is really going on? What are you going to do? Tell us what you're going to do for change. What are you going to do, man? You're always talking about blaming, pointing fingers and stuff. What are you going to do? We're going to go to a quick commercial. We're going to come back. You're live with the Street Queens on Lush Radio Online. Call in at 347-826-7722, and we're going to a group commercial, and we'll talk to you when we come back.
Attention music connoisseur. Are you frustrated and aggravated from listening to conventional radio? Sick and tired hearing the same lame 20 songs over and over again? You need to be listening to blogtalkradio.com/LushRadioOnline. Lush Radio Online. Hosted by Lushy Lush. Lushy Lush has her ear to the street and plays all the new and independent artists out there. To listen to Lushy Lush, log on to blogtalkradio.com/LushRadioOnline. And don't forget to call into the station, 347-826-7722. Independent artists and record labels can submit music to Lush Radio Online MP3s@gmail.com. Lush Radio Online, you just officially got stamped.
It's your girl, Lushy Lush, man. Did you ever think about picking up a magazine to see nothing but the hottest ladies that's doing hot things in the industry, from models to business owners? We trying to find out the beauty outside and the beauty within. So if you thought about that, pick up E2K magazine at www.myspace.com/E2K magazine or www.everything2.com. Or email them at E2KMagazine@gmail.com, man. It's nothing. Holla at your girl, man. Pick up E2K Magazine and support them in their movement, man. Like Nike say, just do it.
Y'all want to get your stunner shades? Y'all want to get your stunner shades on? Want to get the hottest glasses worldwide exclusive? Holla at Rooly.com, www.rooly.com. Holla at them official sponsors of Lush Radio. It's not a game. I got my stunner shades on, and I'm doing my 1-2, man. Holla at Rooly.com. It's not a game. Go check out the website, man. You're going to be impressed. Tell them Lush sent you, man. It's not a game, man. I got my stunner game on. Do you?
Every Friday at every Friday at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. TriplePlatinumUnderground.com. Get down with the underground.
Yeah, yeah, it's your girl, Lushy Lush, and we're live in the building, and we are paying homage to all of our black leaders on Black History Month, February. You know it's today to honor our people. You're live with the Street Queens and Women. We are the queens. All hail the Street Queens. And we're live in the building. Callers can call in at 347-826-7722. We're talking about what can you do to make change. That's point blank. What can you do to make change? Enough is enough with pointing the fingers. Obama is one person. We need to start making change in our community. Street Queens, the movement, Donna Savage. We try to make change every single day in our lives, trying to advocate change through doing the shows, you know, with her producing books and us going out in the streets, you know, to help the people. You know, you can't just talk the talk and talk about what you're going to do. You actually got to do what you say you're going to do. And that's the thing, man. Our youth are lost out here. We need to start letting our new youth know what is going on in the world. The proper way that you treat a woman. The proper way that you would address an adult. At one time in my life when I was growing up, I would never, ever, ever talk back to an adult. But our youth are fearless. We need to go back, take it back to the old school when I was an old fool who was so cool. Hey, we got to take it back, man, to our kids and let them know, you know, back in the day where John John was on the block, and you can ask John John to pick your grocery ups. The old lady, you know, Sarah was coming up to see, John John, can you? And it was no problem. We need to start supporting each other. And the thing about it, we always talk about support, but the thing about it, we don't need everybody. We don't need all of the black community. We just need a portion, and the rest of them shall follow. Because you remember when they said, if you build it, they shall come. Mm-hmm. If you work it out right, they shall come. They'll jump on the bandwagon. But we, as people, need to start taking responsibility for our actions and stop blaming each and every person for different things. Change comes by force, and change comes by willingness. And I'm going to take this. Legion of Beat says, change ourselves, how we react to certain things, and be more cautious of ourselves. Stop looking at other people. Look at ourselves. We need to look at ourselves. And if we're not content and if we're not doing right, how would you expect to teach and tell somebody else how to live right and live righteous? Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a hypocrite.
Good night.
Good night, Joseph.
Hi, Joe.
What?
Did you say good night?
No.
Oh.
Oh, I thought you was like, good night.
Hello?
Yeah.
I'm here. Sorry, I wasn't saying goodnight to you. I was saying goodnight to someone else. Sorry.
Okay, all right, Joe. It's all right, Joe. So back to what I was saying, I was like, basically, like, we need to stop blaming people, stop blaming everybody else, and, you know, we need to just, you know, celebrate Black History Month every single day. When we wake up in the morning, we need to start telling our children, you can be anything you want to be. Not just because Obama is president. We need to just start saying to our children, you can be anything you want to be. You are beautiful. You are bright. We need to start because the children need this support. A lot of the kids that I see, because I deal with trouble youth at the high school, a lot of them don't get that from their family. When they're sitting there and they're acting up, I'm the only one that they're coming in because I can relate to them. They talk about the streets and this, that, and that. I say, baby, you don't know not one thing about the streets, but I can tell you about the streets. And I can tell you one thing, you could never, ever hang out there, and the streets don't love nobody, and it has no face. And a bullet and a gun doesn't have any face. And this is the thing, our youth really, 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 really are lost. And we need to bring them back. Take back our communities. Take back our children. And bring the light to Black History Month. We need to have this ongoing constantly. We need to start advocating and say, man, we need a bigger space in this library for these Black books. We need to start supporting our Black authors. Mm-hmm. We need to start supporting all of these Black businesses. Man, I ain't saying all of them. You know, some of them is cool, some of them is off the hook. But we got to support a majority of them. That's really righteous. So so start supporting your people.
With the kids,
but support too, everybody.
You're right.
Huh?
I say you're right. It's with the kids because, like, you sit down and educate them and you ask them half, like, who's Rosa Parks? And they look at you like, but now if you ask them, can you tell me the leader who started the Crip and the Blood Gang? They're, oh, yeah, that was back in when, and this happened and that happened. Like, how do you know that? And you don't know, you know, your other Black history. So.
You know, the thing about it is, we all are history makers. And that's one thing that we need to know. And like Rip Radio said, Trumpy said, Black history is not just February. Every day I'm Black. I make history. I'm going to use that as a quote.
Wow.
Black history is not just February. Every day I'm Black and I make history. We are all history makers. Every last one of us is a history maker. We make history every single day.
I like that because February is my month, as you know. February 19, and I'm a leader by birth, so it's in February, and it's celebrating Black History Month, so I'm loving it.
Wow, isn't that crazy? Your mom is February 19th. You're February 19th too, right?
I'm February 19th. You're March 19th.
And I'm March 19th. Oh, man, you know, 19th, I got to play those numbers. But anyway, I'm bringing in another caller. Caller from the 518, you're live in the building with the Queens. How you doing?
What's good, Lushy Lush?
What's up? Legion of Beats, live in the building. You definitely were giving some good thoughts in the chat room. How do you feel about the situation?
This is DJ Smooth.
Oh, hey, DJ Smooth, I'm sorry.
Peace,
DJ Smooth. I'm so sorry, I apologize. This is DJ Smooth, one of the hottest DJs in the building, and his mixes are smooth. I love DJ Smooth. He's definitely doing his thing. Thank you for coming through and definitely coming and showing support. Smooth, tell us how you feel about the situation.
Well, I just jumped in, so if you don't mind, I'll just listen while y'all kind of bring me up to speed.
Okay, basically the question was, as change, making history, making change and stuff, right, in regards to the fact that there were lack of more promotions in regards to this month of Black History Month, and you heard more about Rihanna and Chris Brown than you heard about, Sojourner Truth, Martin Luther King, Harriet Bethune, Rosa Parks. You heard more about that situation and this woman that impregnated herself, looked like alien stomachs and all that stuff. But anyway, you know, you hear less of that and you hear less of just the acknowledgement of Black History Month. How do you feel about that? How can we change that? And why do you think us as a people are allowing that to happen?
We're not being, as a people, as proactive as we could be when it comes to mass media. So mass media is looking for whatever's negative. And that's what sells. That's what keeps ratings going, soaring through the top. And that's what folks seem to want to gravitate towards too. So I think in order to put Black history and its purpose and its mission and how we have struggled as a people and where we have come to versus where we were, we need to be more, take a more stand-up role in kind of twisting the message back to what it's supposed to be about. Not really Chris Brown and what happened between Rihanna But see, you got mass media that gets a clip of that and then runs wild with it. Now the story isn't even what it really was. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
So therefore, by television and radio and it's the hype and it's something to talk about, you know, we lose our focus. And I don't think it's a fault per se, but that's what the dominant conversation's all about. It's not about Black history. It's not about, you know, the trials and tribulations and struggles and so on and so forth. It's about what's negative because that seems to be what's selling. When we have so much positive affirmation and so much positive influence to focus on this month that, you know, if we send a message that, you know what, don't have time for that and don't support that drama, then that's how we, in turn, help to change the game and turn it around and put it into perspective like it's supposed to be. It's okay to turn off a TV or turn off a radio or tune out a friend when they're talking about that kind of negativity. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think
that's true.
I think I might be on the right path. I mean, if I'm wrong, correct me.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That's true, man. So, who would you like to pay homage to? Which one of our leaders, or who would you like to pay homage to, and get some facts on Black History Month?
Martin Luther King, of course. Mm-hmm. God rest his soul.
Mm-hmm.
That was the start of it all, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's a couple of years before I was even had the privilege of being born, you know. So I understand the struggles. I grew up in the city of Boston. You know, so I lived in part of the struggle. You feel me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I got bused to school, and, you know, I lived in the hood, but they felt it was better for me to go to a suburbial school where I didn't even fit in, with the exception of just to be educated and then get back on the bus and go back home. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I could tell you the stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think, you know, I think at this point, you know, your show, of course, is geared more towards a positive perspective than affirmation. So I'd rather keep it that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The thing about it is, people, we just need to come to grips with ourselves, and we need to really like start standing up and be history makers. We're all history makers in our own sense. We need to become comfortable in our own skin to stand up and speak on it. Like, don't sit around. If the trash is outside the building and people are just, you know, desecrating where you live at, where your children are, speak on it. If you feel like you're not getting, if the kids are not getting enough books at the school, advocate, speak on it. Go to your lobby and sit at your council meetings. Why are we being quiet? Don't be quiet. Why?
Not only that, you know, there's a lot of us around who, you know, we can afford to buy a book or two. We can take on, you know, use some of the extra time that we got throughout our day, you know, to maybe tutor a kid or, you know, just stuff that we used to do. It's just doesn't seem to be the focus anymore. You know
do you feel a lot of that is due to the fast-paced world we're in right now?
Absolutely. You know, it's bump and grind out here. You know what I mean? I got to be here because that's where I need to be, and you need to move out my way, period. That's the way the world feels to me.
That's true.
You know what I mean? We jump in our cars. We got to go to work. We got to drop kids off at school. We got to go to sports events. We have to do this. We have to do that. But what about the good old-fashioned basis of being nice?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how are you doing today?
A good morning. Thanks.
Thanks
for holding the door.
Exactly. Thank you for holding the door. Like, you don't want to be looking at the next person like, wow, I think he or she was going to actually slam that door in my face if they had the opportunity.
Mm. Yeah, when people are rude like that, like when I'm with my kids and people are rude, they don't hold the door, whatever, you know, like my kids look at me like because they see things, you know, like, oh, that's wrong. And I just automatically tell them, you know what?
They just don't know any better. But we're going to teach them how it's supposed to be. Hold the door. Thank you. I go through. You walk in. Thank you. That's how it's done.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See, that bothers. You know, that has an effect. I won't say it bothers people who have a negative approach or attitude, but it does have an effect on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you can see the expression like, wow, that didn't even faze that individual.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So at some point throughout the day, you know, they're taking a look at self.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes you have to put people, you have to put a mirror in front of people.
Because
half the time they don't realize what they're doing. And
right.
when they see what they're doing, it's like, wow, okay, I didn't even realize that I was doing that. Or, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is a question I throw to all of you guys. Do you feel as now we bring an awareness and light to this? Do you feel that the black people, the culture itself, will we actually be able to change this, or we will allow ourselves to be more dumbed down by the media and just by this fast-paced society that is going on? And I throw that out to Emma first.
Well, I hope I'm wrong, and I want to be proven wrong. But I think, you know, I believe that because we have Obama in presidency, that's like kind of like a pass. They've done pacified us with that. And it's like people feel like we've climbed the higher mountain, and that's it. We've climbed the mountain, and we're here, and that's it. Like, that's where it ends. And people not understanding that this is just it's a progress. It's progress, you know. But it's not the end. This is not over. It's not time to rest. It's not time to sit down. Okay, we got a black president, and that's it. Everything else is going to, you know, run its course. No, you have to continue to fight. Continue to fight. You know, it's like when we had no longer slavery, just because, okay, you no longer legally can have slaves, you still have to keep struggling and fight for continuous rights and everything else. So it just because, you know, we come into something where we progress on doesn't mean that's it, it's over.
Mm.
And, you know, and what happens is that because of Obama, that's exactly what has happened. People are like, okay, well, Obama, you know, like that's even the artist. Oh, we have a black president, so now we good. How do you figure that? Like, how you figure we're just good just because he's the president? How do you know they didn't put him there to then make it worse, and then look at you and be like, oh, you want a black president? Here you go.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So in order for him to be successful, everybody that it took to get him there have to continue to fight, have to continue those ideals, have to continue to look within themselves and look at themselves, because when they look at the black president and then they see the black community, hello, I mean, what is it you want to show the people? That we can do it, or we're just going to have ghetto mentalities, you know, forever? Like, come on. There's got to be, everybody talks about change, but what's the change? That we have a black president now? What else has changed? Like, we have to change within ourselves and continue that change and continue the fight. That's the only way that I see that we're going to be able to. Otherwise, I think that they really did it to us big time. They put Obama, they say, here's a pacifier, and it's a wrap for y'all.
Lissette, how you feel about that, Lissette?
I have to agree with Emma. I feel that, you know, we have a black president now. Even though we have a great example, I think, as what a marriage should look like, what a father figure should look like, what a, you know, a hardworking citizen looks like, that's all in Obama's example, and I'm so grateful. But you know what? Every day when I pray, I always say, you know, God, take care of Obama. He's a great man from what it seems. He's a great example. And I have a fear in my chest. I have a fear in my heart that people are out to get him, because I see racism every day, you know. Just because we have a black president doesn't mean that everything is all right. You know, it doesn't mean that racism in my hood, I mean, Latinos being divided from the blacks and the blacks being divided from the whites, you still see that in high school lunchrooms. You still see that in elementary school. You know, so the media is going to continue to pull these, you know, reality shows, and it's going to continue to have its effect on the people. But if there's people like myself and like you ladies and like all the leaders that we know, if we have these people here, I believe that we can bring that force against that dumb down. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I personally want to have a march this summer. Streets Are Mine. It's not just clothing. It's a whole movement. I want to have a unity and community type of march. I want to have block parties. I want to be able to educate, you know, starting in my community. So it's like we cannot be content because we have a president. We still have to lead. Now we have a little leeway, you know what I'm saying, in the sense that we have a black president. It is very possible. That means I could be president one day too. Sure, I'm going to try hard. But it
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean that the media and communities is not going to continue to feed off of that lack of knowledge, you know what I'm saying? They're going to
mm-hmm.
still try to dumb us down. It's up to us to kind of fight against that by creating these organizations, by, you know, starting these little groups for teenagers in the neighborhoods and giving them a place to go and keeping our libraries open. So, yeah, they're going to continue to dumb us down, but it's up to us to recognize it and fight against it.
That's true. That's the truth. Donna, how do you feel about the situation, Donna?
Yeah, I think with Obama, of course, he's a wonderful man and his family is so great. And it's just even the way he had to come in with the country so messed up the way it is, that's just symbolic to how we've been treated all of this time. It's like they handed him this big old mess with such a mass deficit like that, and everyone knows that so many people put millions and millions of dollars in their pockets, and then he has to come in and clean all of this up, and he's being put under the gun, you know, and everything is scrutinized now that he's in office because he's black, and it's just a long way that we have to go. You know, we have to really pray for him and his family because he's a God-fearing man, and I'm so happy about that. And I know that God can bring him through, but he has a lot on his plate because of what he was handed and how. And I think that that's just classic, you know, symbolic to the black people. Like, here, you want the office, here you go, you know. After they've already taken so much money from the government to on down to us, it came out of everyone's pockets. And I don't think that it's a coincidence that the gas prices shot up like that, and then when he got in office, it was down. That money went somewhere.
Yeah. That's the truth. No lie about that one. Yo, DJ Smooth, how you feel about the situation, DJ Smooth?
I agree with a lot that has been said. I think at the same time, you know, just like we as a people had the power to put Obama in presidency, we as a people have the power to continue to come together and to change the face of media and the negative spin that I notice that's being put on, you know, our new president. And I also think that, you know, I just want to say this real quick. Everything new is becoming old. And, you know, I let folks decipher that how they choose to. But I will say that, you know, I see things taking a turn for the better. You know, we're taking a lot of heat as a people, of course. But haven't we done that over years and over generations?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but we prevail. We prevail, we continue to prevail, and we have prevailed. And so I think if we take those, you know, key components and continue to work together and stay focused, because, you know, people try to one-up us or knock us down, but, you know, we didn't cause all this. We didn't generate all this.
Mm-hmm.
And when people don't believe,
mm-hmm.
they have nothing, no other option but to become fearful. of what's new because they don't understand. So with that being said, we need to teach. We need to continue to teach. And I hope that sums up how I feel about it.
And that's the truth. And everybody made a key point today. And with that said, we're gonna wrap it up. You know, we talked about, we paid homage to Miss Sojourner Truth, advocate for women's rights, and, you know, a teacher, preacher. We get paid homage to Coretta Scott King, Dr. King's wife, Maya Angelou. I paid homage to my mother. Lissette paid homage to her grandmother. And Emma paid homage to her mother. And we paid homage to Martin Luther King. And we talked about, you know, the issues that we face as a people. And we talked about, you know, just teaching our children and bringing back and just being history makers every single day and starting with the household and just not classifying ourselves with this accomplishment of the fact that Obama's in office, which he's a wonderful man and we respect him and we love him, but we need to be history makers ourselves, okay? You're black every single day. Your color doesn't change, but you can make history every day when you wake up and just make change in your community and within yourself. Trying to make a positive change every single day. And, you know, Street Queens the movement, we always advocate change, and we always, we don't just talk the talk, we walk the walk. And those are basically the closing remarks. And, like, we have our announcements. Basically, we're doing a closing drive. We're doing a coat drive that's going to be in New York, March the 8th, sponsored by E2K Magazine. And, the Street Queens will be helping out Strictly Bump One. So, guys, if you have any coats that are intact, please let us know. Email us at streetqueensmovement@gmail.com and let us know what you can do. It's going to be on March the 8th. We'll be doing a coat drive. Shepherd's Cove, Women's and Children's Shelter, is asking for donations of twin-size blankets that are brand new and towels and Lysol and Pine-Sol for the women and children in the shelter. The address, if you want to send donations, is 1400 Doewood Lane, Capitol Heights, Maryland, 20743. And for more information, you can call Ms. Jackson at 301-322-3381. If you'd like to send Street Queens Movement donations to help us out, to help the community and keep shows like this going on and do more for the kids, it's P.O. Box 30126, Capitol Heights, Maryland, 20731. You can, even if it's a dollar, anything, it doesn't matter. Anything helps. Even if you can't get the twin size, maybe whatever change we get from donations we can use to go purchase some of this stuff. Or we can purchase some of the jackets for the coat drive to give to the homeless. And also, thank you to all the listeners, the callers, DJ Smooth, Joseph, Ripped Radio, everybody in the chat line, chat room, consulting guy, Donna, everybody that called in. We love you guys. The people that we didn't get to, we apologize in advance. And our motto and our creed is, our motto is to empower and support the diverse needs of people. And our creed is, Street Queens are here to show the future leaders the way, walking and talking life struggles every day. Like the sands of times, we are an inescapable entity bringing light into dark places and filling despair with hope. Good night, everyone. Don't forget to tell your friends to stay tuned next week, same time, same place at 8 o'clock. We are Street Queens, and we are the Street Queens Movement. And you can check us out at www.streetqueensmovement.ning.com. Join our site, support us in our movement, post any of your community events on there. And we love you over here, Street Queens, and we're giving you all an imaginary hug. And we love all of y'all. And make sure you check out www.myspace.com/DMSavageMedia. Blood, Sweat, and Tears of a Domestic Violence Survivor. Author is Donna M. Savage, who is live on the line right now. Please support her in her movement.
domestic violence happens every different single day. You've seen it with Rihanna and Chris Brown. It starts at a young age, and it transits. We need to put a stop to it, and we're advocates of it. Please support the book. Pick up the book. Please support her. It's at every major store, online, Amazon, everywhere. Support it. And if you want to get, we have some books that we will give away half price on here. Some of the proceeds will go to a charity and go to Donna to support our movement. So please, you guys, we love you. Support our movement, www.myspace.com/DMSavageMedia. I love you guys so much. You are my queens. You are beautiful. You are strong. Stand up with your head erect, and we love you. Shout out to all my leaders out here, black businesses, black owners. Come together. If we ain't working together, we ain't working at all. And you guys just officially got stamped by the street queens, and we love you, and we out.
Peace.
Peace. Yay, yay. Ooh.
Storm is over now.